Can you tell me your name? Can you tell me your name?
Newman. William Newman.
And where are you from?
I was born in St. Michael.
And when did you come to Holy Cross?
When I was 4 years old. And I've been here ever since. Well, I've been in Chicago a few years and postmaster up there for 4 years. Then I moved back down here. I've been in all kinds of work since that time.
How come you moved to Holy Cross?
What's that?
How come your family moved to Holy Cross?
Why we come here? Well, it's my home. It's almost my home.
No, why did they leave St. Michael's to come here?
Oh, I don't know. That's been here 80 years. About 78, 76 years, something like that ago. I'm 81 years old. And you take 4 years from that, will be 93. I was born. I've been about 97 when I came in. And since that time, I've been here for all the time. So, otherwise, what I did was working and trapping, and that time we just me and Johnny were trapped, you know, John Andrews, and we used to go down here with the waste, and we put our traps out, and we set them, we found the places, their dens, their holes, mink holes, you know, their home, and we put traps on all, and we never set them, it was against, game warden was here, and I got somebody reported us that we were setting traps. Game warden called us and asked us we're setting traps. No, we're not setting. We're putting traps. We're not setting them. We're just putting them so the mink get used to the traps. And when the open season, we set them. So we said, okay, that somebody told me that they were trapping. I said, we know better than that. Didn't trap. Well, after that, when it did open, we went to fix our traps, and about 2 days after we went down, we got eight mink right away the first day. Well, we trapped till Christmas time, and we got 80 mink out of between the two of us. There were lots of fur that time. And after that, work at different jobs here and there, and then they come to this mail carrier business. how I got that was I went with a fellow beaver hunting over in the spring, and he asked me to bring him. He had about seven dogs, mail team. He was carrying the mail from Martin. He was old and he didn't like it. He was too old, he said. And he wanted to turn over the contract to me. And so you come with me in spring, and he says, I'll turn over the dog to you, give to you, and you can pay me when you make the trip down to, for a mail subcontract. Well, I think 1 year I worked the first winter, and before the winter was over, they turned the whole thing over to me. I had my name in it. Then I worked that for 4 years, and the contract was up. We bid again, and lots of fellas, and I bid the same, and I got the contract again. And but before when we started the first year, I hauled that mail. There was a time they had that smallpox scare down there. Nobody didn't know what it was. You know. They all had pimples. And the Marshall, they had it below Marshall too, but we didn't know it. In the fall, nobody traveled. I was about the first one traveling around. And till we got near Marshall, then we met this eagle bunch. Well, when I left here, I started with one dog, my old leader. And we were supposed to bring mail, and I had to walk from here, so postmaster told me to, he'll put 1 sack in the litter, in the mail sack, one letter in the mail sack, and I can start off that way. I went down, made 25 miles the first day, and halfway down right across the Yukon, there's a big bend in across the island, and that dog used to run ahead of me, you know, and he knew the trail, and he was going straight across, but a certain place he made a circle around, and about the middle of the river, and that was, I wanted to go straight. He ran back and stepped right in front of me and sit down, you know, look at me. And I put him aside and I went a little ways, about maybe 10 feet. The ice was only about half inch thick. How that dog knew, I don't know. So I, from that time I followed his tracks everywhere he went. He didn't use the ice pit. We made time with that night, and there was father there, and there's a pretty big crowd of kids there that time. They had a pretty good school there. And he asked me to camp with him up there in the mission. And he asked me to take his, to break his dogs in. He had, I don't know how many, six, I think. He had six dogs, all pups, and they were not broken yet. They're about 9 months, 8 months old. And I went in there and I told him all right. He said he'd get me a boy to come along with me, because I couldn't handle those dogs. Pups, you know, they were full of life. So we went down, and about halfway down the Russian mission, we were figured to camp on the island there. And there's a slough goes around. We followed, and the Yukon makes a big bend, so it went straight. And I told this boy, this slough is dangerous. It's thin ice some places, iron water in the, from the creeks on the shore come down, and the kind of eat up the ice where the creek runs through the ice. I said, some of the place might be bad, and if it, you see the sled start to sink, you jump ashore. We're running right along the shore, and he said, okay, and he was riding on the handlebars, and I was sitting on the saddle on the sled, you know, and all at once I felt the sled going, and I jumped right on the shore. I looked back for this boy, and he was still holding the sled, and well, we pulled the dog on the shore on the bank, kind of a sloping bank, and got him dried out a little bit, and we went down the end of the slough, we camped there. And all we had was about the biggest, maybe inch and a half diameter of willows. There was quite a few on the island that are dry. And one of us stayed up half the night and cut the willows to keep the fire going. So next morning we started down to Rustin Mission. We made Rustin Mission, all right. Then from there we made what they call Ohagamut. The fellow was by the name of Dick Bennett, was running trading post for Christmas. Christmas was in Marshall and Russian Mission, sorry. And we stayed there. We made it to Ohagamut, and we went there. A whole bunch come from Marshall with a dog team from below Marshall, what they call Texas. I doubt if there's a village now there, but there used to be a big village 7 miles below Mars. Anyway, their team came up, and there was about 6 inches of snow. They made a good trail. So Fred Bishop told me, the trailer, to leave the boy there, and I could go alone. So I left him there, and I went down late Marshall that night. And when I got the post office brought a mail over there, and the postmaster had a place there for us to stop. He had lots of room, big room in his house, and his kids were there, some kids were there with him. They didn't, but he was, I noticed his face was sore, pimple. I asked him, what's the matter with you? You catch that sickness too? He said, I catch everything. He says, when the old fellows get it, I get it. When the young ones get it, I get it. So, the boss told me after we had supper to come over to Miranda's where they have dances. And when the mail generally come in, they said they always gather people from different villages. They all come there for their mail. And of course, they all gather there and have dance every night. And some of the boys, of course, they had this pimples, they were dancing like everything, every night. And I stayed there 8 days, waiting for the other male carrier. And the 8th day he came and we danced that night, and next morning I left. And we went up to the Hagenwood and camped there. Next day I made the reservation. When I was going in the same place with a male, Christopher, he was the postmaster then. He saw, he said, you stay there. You know what they have in Marshall? I said, no. I said, they have smallpox down there. And he didn't know it. I said, we danced every night and nobody seemed to care. Anyway, they kept me by myself there. And they made, you know, they left me stay in the house and they took care of the mail. And so the next day I started home and went to Pinewood. Next day, it took me 2 days from Russian to Pinewood, 50 miles. And I made 2 short runs, 25 miles. I got to Pinewood and I told the father, oh, I said, maybe. I said, there was a plane went down, brought a doctor down, and he claimed it was smallpox. So they got everything quarantined now down there. And he didn't mind. He said, you going up. I went up, and when I came here, they had a little house. One of these frame houses, what's up in the mission. They were using that for a post office. And they put me in there and they fumigated my harness, dog harness and everything. And they kept me in there for about 8 days, 9 days. There was another, somebody went down for me, brought some 2 girls down to Mountain Village. And Mountain Village was pretty bad. Now this fellow had never got it till he started to come back before reaching. He started to have their fingers. And from there, the few people caught it after he came up. But when I came, nobody got it, got the sickness. But as soon as this fellow got here, quite a few got it. Some got it pretty bad. None of them died. And that was the end of that first trip when I brought the mail up. And after that, years after that, I worked on a boat in the summer. So we used to run from here to Iditarod with a boat hauled freight and mail every week, once a week. And that's 400 and some miles by the river. And we had to make that once a week with a boat, come back here. We had a pretty good boat. And but some years, water in the Iditarod, 80 miles, there was 80 ripples, almost a mile. Every mile there was a ripple when there was no water. But when there's a rain that cuts over to the banks, it's level with the banks, and we have no trouble going up. But that's 80 miles before we used to work there. Big boats used to go to Dykeman, that's 80 miles from Iditarod. And from there they used to call the mosquito fleet, gas boats used to haul the freight up. And in the fall, when they didn't finish the freighting, they had a horse road from Dykeman to Iditarod. And they haul with big slits or sort of head. They all prayed up. Well, the next spring, they were, well, they wanted us to, they sent for me and about four boys here. We worked that fall, the last boat. And they promised us a job for the next summer. And we worked up there and we went up pulling sleds from here in March. And we made it in 2 days and a half, Tycoon. It was hard, that rain and deep snow and it froze. You could walk anywhere. We made a straight line. When we get on up the hill, we'd sit down on the sled and one fellow steered between the trees. And then next day we hit a horse road and we followed that to Tycoon. And we were the first, when the river broke, we were the first boat up. They were pretty big boats there. When it's, they had a 300-ton barge and that was full of mostly machinery and all iron, I guess. We brought that up. And the place was, I did that was the town, there was hardly anybody in flat. And the place, there's a bend. As far as when we come around the bend, you could see the people on top of the houses. There were 2,000 people there then. We made a big showing there coming in, first boat, you know, flags all over. Then from there we went up to Fairbanks to get that to do something with the wheel was too far in the water. And he stayed there 8-9 days in Fairbanks. They pull up the boat on the way. And the first time I seen, there was not many automobiles. And we used to take around there, charge us 50 cents and go even out in the country. All the charges were 50 cents for a round trip. And we were 8-9 of us. And they got $4 for about an hour's ride. And that's about all from that part of the country. You see, in the summer I'd work on the boat, in the winter I'd carry mail. And my sister and kids used to mind the dog that time. And I'd got two wolf, half-wolf dogs from the game warden. Game warden was here. He says he could do nothing with them. They would have fight on him. And I got them in the spring and let my sister, and she has about six or seven kids there. And I left them. I said, we'll try them out if they are no good to get rid of them. So in the fall, when I came back, those kids were riding on her like a horseback onto her two dogs. Tame as can be. They play with them. See, they were two good dogs. I used them for wheel dogs on the nearest leg. And you know those big snaps we use at the end of the tow line? I had to use them for the tux tow. And first time I didn't know it in winter time, cold, and I hook them up and dogs barking all started. When it started and he broke that snap, big snap. From that time I didn't tie them up, only when I'm ready to go. And in the winter, in the fall I buy lots of hay for the dogs, for their bed at night when I camp at the village. Every village I buy a bunch of hay. And those two dogs wouldn't sleep on the hay. They'd rather sleep on the snow. All winter like that. Then when I went down, I got these three dogs from one guy in Marshall. I forgot his name. It was old guy. He was going away, and I wanted only one dog for a leader. I wanted to make a leader out of it. Looked like it would make a good leader, and I offered him $60 for that one dog. He wouldn't take it. So the next trip I came down and I asked, Saint's place was up from with my relative that store where they have the dentist. He had a place bed and place to stop there. And he had dog feed and everything, so it was easier for me to mind my dogs from there, and he had a nice place for them to stay. And he told me that man wanted to sell his dogs. He said, if I take all of them, he'll sell them go for $60. He had, there's two big, I think they call them Dane, those big Dane dogs. And I went there and talked to him, and he said, sure, I'll let him go, $60 for him. And I was, in the meantime, there was a mining camp with Barbarossa Mission, about 8 miles from the Yukon. Stewie Heck, they call it. And the guy in there wanted to make a deal with me to haul a 25-ton of hydraulic pipe. They were about 20 feet long. And all of them were nested in, you know. They were about, I forgot how much. Looked like to be 1,400 or 1,500 pounds each piece. But we could take them out and haul. So I told them, when I came up with those two dogs, I said, I'll take the job hauling those pipes. I was thinking those big dogs would be wonderful dogs for pulling the load. Well, when I came up here, one of them wouldn't pull nothing, so I 25 miles below here, at the Pymut. I gave him to John Anthony. He's over here now, you know. And I told him, you give you that dog for nothing. I said, you don't know how to work. Maybe it'll work for you. With the kids, you can play with them. So I gave it to him. And that dog I left here with my sister for the kids. They wouldn't have worked. I got this other guy to be my partner to haul the pipes. He had about 10, 12 dogs, good dogs. He's the guy that won part of the ice crew last winter, Mike Demeter. We wait till about February to haul. And we went down and made some bobsleds out of birchwood, you know. Made two big sleds, and we made four sleds, and not four sleds, but two pairs of sleds, and box sleds. And we hauled a pipe, and we hauled about 800 up a hill. It's about, it's about 500 feet sea level, like it's high, the hill. And from there it's all rolling hills and back. And the first we haul all the pipe up to that rail up there, and then from there we haul back. And we made it in no time. 2 weeks we had the whole thing over there. And then we came up. And they were 2 years, didn't think nothing, you know, and the dogs, they were tough, you know, and their average run was 7 miles an hour, or even with over 1,500 pounds, they didn't make no difference. And all those 8 years I carried that mill, I never ran ahead of the dogs, not once. Only one trip halfway from Pymut to I had a snowshoe ahead of them. They couldn't make it. As long as they didn't hit their belly, the leader could make it, you know. And his name was Compass, my leader. And the funny thing of it, he'd look back down there, hunters and runners, all this look back. And they never made a trail. The trail was just a straight beeline. I don't know how he made it. He was afraid that I would hit him or something, you know, but after he got used to him, he was all right. And After that, the airplane took the mail after 9 years, and then we couldn't compete with them anymore. But I still had dogs, and the mission had pretty good teams. And one year I went down with father. We made a missionary trip from here to, we went from here to Flat down to Mother Crooked, from Crooked up to Slatewood, and then down to Bethel, and then up this way. And we broke the sled all up from here, between here and Flat, and I had to get a carpenter to fix it. And you see, in the fall there was not much snow, and awful rough country in the hills over there. Big holes, and the dogs are wild in the fall, you know, they go faster. We got that fixed, and we went over the, from Flat, we went over the summit, and we went down, there's some, I forgot their name, some Irishmen there. We camped with them, 60 below zero, they said, when we got to their place. Then, we camped there. Next day we went down to Kruger Creek on the Cutter Creek. And this guy named Dandy Parents was there then. And they were still 60 below when we got there. And he said the ice stopped about a couple of nights ago. He said, I don't know how far you can make it. Yeah, anyway, the ice jammed, you know, the water backed up along the shore about 12 feet wide. It was like a boulevard, just slick ice all the way. And that cold weather evenings made a kind of frost on the ice. And it was just right for the dogs, they were not slippery. Well, we're figuring to make Slatewood in 2 days, 60 miles, 60 some miles. We went halfway, we got there about 11 o'clock in the morning. We were halfway already. And George Peterson was there, and he told us, you might make it if you hit somebody's trail to come down the trap out halfway, then you follow their trail, they'll make a portage instead of following the river. If you strike that, you'll make it easy. So we took a chance, we went up after dinner and we struck somebody's trail. And we came into Slatewood at 5 o'clock. We made over 60 miles that run. Then we stayed there a couple of days and went down to Kuskokwim. When we passed Kalskak, from there down there was hardly any fish for the dog. We had to buy bacon for the dog. We stayed in Marshall, in Bethel about 3 days, I guess. It is baptizing some kids in there. And it happened that Marshall finished his house and had a big dance up there. And they invited, some girls came and asked Father to go to the dance. Father, no. And I never danced before, I didn't know what it was. I didn't go. Well, anyway, after that, we left for going home, and we went to Akiak. We camped in there. Then from there we had only our own trail coming down, and it snowed quite a bit. And it had been windy, and the dogs jumped up across. Then we went back, and before we reached from Akiak, we went to by 2 o'clock. We wouldn't go inside, but we passed it. And we figured to make Kalskak. I told him it's too far for the dog to be tired, and that it would camp somewhere in the timber, give him rest. And we got the timber, it was starting to get dark. I said, it's about time to give him rest. No, we'll go a little more. So we kept it going. And the dogs were getting so tired that they'd lay down once in a while. And I had to come back after I walk out with them, to come back, lift them up, put them on their feet, make them go again. Then we hit somebody's trail about a couple of miles from the village, and from there we could make it in. So we went to the village that they put away the dogs for us. They gave us supper. And about 9, well, we got there about 1 o'clock. I don't know what time we went there, but anyway, when time to go to bed, I took off my shoes, and I happened to have one of these waterproof shoes made by fish skin, king salmon skin, and they're light, very light shoe, and it wasn't torn or nothing, and on inside was one side of my feet or full of ice or something. I tried to take off the shoes, it wouldn't come out. So they had to cut the shoes off, binding and pull out. And the socks and everything was close to my feet. And from the ankle down, there was just one white sheet, you know. And I said, sure, I'd loot. They'll have to send me to the hospital, get it cut off. So next day there were some teams from the reindeer herd. They had a reindeer herd about halfway to Pinewood. And then they had a trail from there to Pinewood. We made over about five teams, I guess, who went over. And next day, I was just sure suffering pains in my feet.